The album is not been released yet, but they've done the presentation launching, so we have one copy. I'm always jamming the thing in the car. I don't need anybody begging me, encourage her. I'm just hoping that they'll release the thing before I go for my next convention. I intend to pack a number of copies, buy it, and go and dash to people, say, enjoy this. This is good music. Are you getting the point I'm making? Uh-huh. It's not just somebody must encourage you. You know, do what is good. That's what makes you a Christian business person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't come and harass us. We know Jesus is coming. Amen. We know. You are singing the thing 10 times. We know. You sing the bad voice, bad instruments. You park yourself in Opera Square and be dancing. And then you go and borrow one cheap camera and video the thing. And we must buy it because we are trying to encourage you. My friend, put excellence into what you are doing. That is the real encouragement. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so what I'm just trying to say in all of this is that, listen, is that faithfulness, when we are doing work, it's not that necessarily we get something, well, let me talk as a preacher now, that yes, my name will be well known. You know, sometimes I think about it, those who work with me, you understand what I'm saying? To keep the radio broadcast on air twice a week, all right, and get people listening to what that's blessing them, believe me, it's grace. I'm not talking just about money, because it's not free. We pay Cosmo FM. It is to even have something to put on air. Do you know, if you stop doing that thing after, we've done it now for a number of years, maybe like about three years now, not even sure again, all right, or more. Now, if you stop for about for 6 months or 1 year, you know, everybody will forget you. You know, that for, generally in life, that puts under a bit of pressure. I'm serious about that. Even in business, it's known. You have to be constantly innovating. You have to be on the cutting edge. Otherwise, they will soon overtake you and forget that you were there. Look, we shout, Henry Ford, made cars cheap. Listen, if these guys didn't keep on edge, it will be history. You buy a book one day, they say there used to be one man, Henry Ford. You think he's the first person to make a? Many people have made and they have forgotten them. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. So even in business, it's like that. Everything in life. So sometimes I just sit down and I look. Honestly, I won't lie to you. There are times when I'm tired and I'm fatigued and I still have to get up and drive to Cosmo. Occasionally, just ask yourself, so what are you doing this for? Blackie, is anybody paying you? No, you understand my point? Look, ask yourself, why are you going through this hassle? I told you there was a day that my mother asked me a question. Said, how your private practice? How is it doing? I said, oh, mommy, I closed it long ago. She said, why? I said, because I don't have time. I said, ministry work takes most of my time. I said, I want to live long. I don't have the time to pursue that kind of thing again. And then, because you have to make it grow and, you know, and make it worth your while. So she now said, but ministry doesn't pay you money. And, I mean, she wasn't trying to yap me, and he was just making a frank observation. Like, why do you close what pays you money for that which doesn't give you anything? I still remember the answer I gave. I believe now that it was inspired. I said, what shall we do? This is the reason why we were born. That was our answer. I said, this was why God allowed you to give birth to me. Will we say that we will not do the reason why we were created and given life because it's not pain? That it was like, I'm a slave of God, I'm a born slave of Christ, there is nothing I can do about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, that's just it. So when I go through all of that, I said, God, in fact, sometimes, I now understood why they said Catherine Kuma used to make a statement. Catherine Kuma, she used to say that, look, that all she wants to do, that once she dies and she gets to heaven, when she finally sees the Lord Jesus Christ, she will say, Lord, I tried. that the first thing she would tell him is, Oga, I tried. What more was I supposed to do? The one you gave me to do, I tried. Do you understand that point? I like one thing, I think it was Tundubakari that said it, but I heard somebody quote him, that the most important thing for you in life is that one day you appear before the judgment throne of God and it says, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you getting my point? That is more important than any other thing. If in this life you didn't get anything materially, don't let that bother you. Just know that you are qualifying yourself for that greeting. that one day the Lord will look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And like one of my seniors said, if after that they say, go and sit on the tree, that's your reward. He said, I'm okay. If I can get that from his mouth, well done, good and faithful servant. That's how I used to encourage myself. There are times I'm just, maybe it was one of those days when I'm tired, I'm just going back home. Dear Lord, like Catherine Coleman, I said, I tried. At least there's nothing I preach now that I didn't preach honestly. What was I supposed to say that I did not say because I was afraid of somebody? Do you understand my point? Or what did I say that is because I'm angry with somebody and I want to use the platform that God has given me to get back at the person? What have I said that is because I need something and I'm hoping that somebody will give me when he has heard me? What have I said that said not purely because I want to output a blessing into people's lives? Once that is satisfied, God, nothing. So in that case, I have tried. What am I saying? We are going after faithfulness. We are not trying to get something from what we are doing. But let me say something to you about God. I must never finish without saying this. God said, did I ask the children of Israel to save me for nothing? He said, I promised them a reward. I need to tell you something. Listen, let me say this again. You've heard it said several times. That we are sons of God, we are not servants of God. You've heard that? And you've also heard me say it, that it is not true. It is true that we are sons of God, believe me. It is true that we are children of God. But it is not true that we are not servants of God. That one is not true. There are those who have made up their minds that they will not serve. Yes, I agree. But that's not what God ordained. God ordained that you and I should be servants. Listen, there are two kinds of sons or children. Anytime God gives two people as examples in the Bible, what he's saying clearly to you is that make a choice. That's what he's saying. When he talks about Joseph, when he talks about Jacob and Esau, you're either a Jacob, you're an Esau. Now, the way I'm going to is that one about the prodigal son. The prodigal son's father was not said to have three sons. You know that? Nobody discussed the fact that he had four sons. The prodigal son had only one brother. That is, Jesus gave us a narrative of a man that had two sons. Anytime you see that in the Bible, it's instructive. What he's saying is that make up your mind which one you want to be. Anyone who brags that I'm a child of God, I'm not a servant of God, is a prodigal son. That's what I'm coming to. The prodigal son's brother said to his father, all these days I have served you, and I have never transgressed any of your commandments. Are you getting my point? That is, that boy, what his father knew him for was that he was an obedient, serving son. And the father said, because of that, all that I have is what? Dying. Everything. You see, people don't understand. They think the father shared the goods, half, to the prodigal son, and then kept the other half. It's because they give me my own inheritance. Let me tell you what they call inheritance. Under those circumstances. Good. Good enough. Most of us here are from Eastern Nigeria. We're mostly Igbos, right? So we know this practice is very common amongst traders from the East. A young man comes to your house as a young boy. All right? He works for you in your business for a number of years until he becomes an adult. Can you remember that? And then if you're a good person, you don't drive him away last minute that he stole. What do you do to him? What's the word we use? You settle him. God bless you. That settlement is called the inheritance. What you give him is his inheritance. I don't know whether you're getting my point. What you give him is what? Is inheritance. Inheritance in that context of the prodigal son is not that the father now split the goods. It's like, daddy, settle me. I want to go. Listen, let me tell you how God will bless you. Say amen before I tell you. Amen. This is the kind of blessing God will bless you. You will be so rich, you will be able to settle your children as they are leaving your house. Amen. What do I mean? Your son will be getting married, or your daughter, and your wedding present for them will be a house in a dependence layout. I know you didn't get it, but you will give it. Amen. Say that amen like you are happy. Yeah, you may not have gotten it, but you will give it. Look, that is, you will want, you just get up and say, ah, this boy, you have, and you know, When we're talking about inheritance, let me tell you some more about it. He has gone to school. After he left school, everybody offered. You see, that's why you have to be careful. Everybody was, you know, oil company, this one company, all kinds of things. But he said, my father built this business. Do you understand my point? Over a long time. I think I have the skill now to take it to another level. So he returns to his father's house and begins to labor so as to build his father's business. And then you see, he can't work for his father for life. Then one day, maybe he wants to get married. He's a man, he's leaving the house now, finally. Not just graduating. Now, I'm taking my wife, I'm going. This is one of the ways you give your children an inheritance. You will look and say, you know, when you came, I wasn't so keen on that transportation business. Now we have 75 luxury buses, 200 highs, you know, Toyota buses, shuttle buses. We have all of that. But that transportation business has never been one of those things I love. I know we are just working on a deal to hire our first two 737s to start, you know, airline business in Nigeria. Therefore, I am giving you the airline, the buses, and everything. That is your own business. That's what they call inheritance. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. The man who is giving it has. He's probably manufacturing, maybe, computers. He has a food industry. He has all kinds of things. Chains of restaurants, chains of supermarkets. He said, this boy, you are the one that dragged me into transportation. Now that you are going, this is my inheritance for you. Take. Go. And that's a wedding present. Now, you know what they call inheritance. I want you to know the kind of level that God will bless you to and what you will be able to do. Listen, let me prophesy for you. I feel happy. You will not be able to wrap a gift for your son and your daughter and call it a wedding present. Amen. How do you wrap a house? How do you wrap a company? Are you getting what I'm saying? That you will say, oh boy, so you are leaving us. And she will say, yes, daddy. So you are leaving. My daughter, you have been a good girl. So you say, call your husband. Let me see you people. Enter the car, you drive. Say, this estate, I don't know what else to do with it. I decided to give you people. That's how blessed men behave. Hear it. You may not have received it, but this is my prayer for you. If you obey God's truth, you will do it for somebody. Amen. It doesn't have to be your natural child or your natural son or natural daughter. A young man who has worked with you, one day he will tell you, sir, I'm about to leave. I want to start my own business. So you have been a good man. Come here. This draft is for ₦1 billion. Make sure I see your balance in 2 years. You have doubled this money. It's yours. You are getting what I'm trying to say? I just want you to understand what they call inheritance. That's why I went into all of this. So when that young man went to his father and said, give me my own inheritance, that's what he was asking for. He wasn't saying, share everything. Give me the one that's mine. He was like, settle me and let me go. Now, let's go back to the prodigal son's brother. So you can understand the importance of that statement. When he said, all these days I have served you and have never transgressed any of your commandments. You have never given me anything. And the man said, giving you anything? All that I have is thine. That's bigger than what his brother got. Do you get my point? His brother was settled and he left. The man who settled the young man had plenty. And he said to the other son, every single thing, that is when I will die, I will hand every piece of this property to you. Because now you are the only son I have. That's what he was saying at the beginning. He said, but when the brother came, now let me tell you something again. The prodigal son returned home. That's the only story we know. I like the way my Bible, New American Standard, says. He said, this your brother was dead, but now he has begun to live. Go and check New American Standard. Didn't say he's now alive. He said, now he has begun to live. He has to learn how to breathe, how to walk, how to walk, how to merit his place as a son in the house. We have given him another opportunity. Are you getting the point? If that old man dropped dead that day, the prodigal son will become his brother's servant if he wants anything in life. I'm not joking about that. I understand divine order. If that old man had died that day, the man had reinstated the boy as a son, we know. But he has to be a son that is serving to his brother if he's going to get anything. But while the man was alive, he was given another opportunity. You have gone out, you have seen that it doesn't favor anybody. Now you come back home and settle and merit your own inheritance. Merit something good for yourself. I'm bringing out something. Sons that serve are the ones that God guarantees everything. Open your Bible quickly to Isaiah chapter 54. I'll read that and begin to close. The book of Isaiah chapter 54. Why I'm saying all of these things is this. Stop looking for all the blessings that you want from that thing that you are putting your faithfulness into. It is God that will reward you in due season. Do some things. Just know you have done them faithfully and go away. Nobody says thank you. It's besides the point. Go away. Even Isaiah at the point in time said, I have labored for nothing. I have spent my strength for naught. That's that much confusion. My job is to just say it. I say it and say it and say it. It's called faithfulness. I say it all I need to say it. It's called faithfulness. In due season, God will reward me somewhere else as he desires. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I said you should open somewhere, right? Yeah, Isaiah chapter 54. I just want to read a scripture to bring out a point. So when we are serving God, that's what I'm trying to say. It's our responsibility. That's what it means to be a child of God. It's not just to say I'm a child of God. The promises and the blessings of God are tied, all right? They are packaged for those who have chosen, even though they are sons, to be servants. If you go and read Malachi, he said, I will spare them like a man spares his son that serves him. Look at what he said in Isaiah chapter 54 from verse 16. God said, behold, I have created a blacksmith who blows the coal in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon, he said, I have done all of these things in verse 17, now says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the next line which, as a young man, I wondered why they didn't write it differently. But after I became older, I understood the truth. He said, these promises, look at the next line. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Is the heritage of whom? Is the heritage of whom? Say it loud. Is the heritage of whom? Not the heritage of sons. Are you getting my point? It's not the heritage of sons. It's the heritage of whom? Servants. This kind of dangerous prophecies is the heritage of whom? Servants. Sons who have made up their minds they will serve. Actually, what I wanted to go today, but our time is up, so I'll finish that next time. I wanted to talk about buried talents and forgotten gifts, how to stir them up. But since this is where the Holy Spirit allowed us to get to, let's stay there. What I've tried to say so far is this. Don't expect that your blessing will not necessarily come from the place where you have exercised yourself in faithfulness. That's what I'm trying to say. I said godliness is contentment is great gain. Paul wrote to Timothy. That is, do that which is right. Use your gift faithfully. Exercise yourself in faithfulness. Are you getting the point? And leave it there. I have never had a better example than Mary Kay Ash in that area. Let me tell you something. You need understanding. Did I hear an amen? That's what will give you stability in life. People's testimonies won't just throw you up and down anyhow. You need understanding. We like to imitate people's works, but we don't imitate their lives. I don't know whether I understand my point. If I want to collect money from you, I know what to say. Last week, one brother came up to me and said, Pastor, this is for the work of God. The following week, there was breakthrough upon his business. 3 days ago, I went somewhere to preach the message. The brother came up and said, this $1 million is for the gospel. Do you know, 2 days later, a contract for $750 million opened. If you will do the same thing tonight, your breakthrough will come tomorrow too. Of course, all the thieves in the congregation too. Who want breakthroughs that will come tomorrow? The man has never given a dime to the gospel before. Suddenly he wants, because he now wants $750 million contract. He wants to give $1 million. Very good. No, I like it like that. I like it like that, actually. No, I won't do it, but when it happens to you, I'm very happy. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. We like to copy that final story. We don't know about the life before then. Let me repeat this story again to you. I read the story of Mary Kay Ash in a few books. And she said that she founded her company to help people. That's the summary of it. It was a business. It was not a charity work. It was a business. But the other day, we watched Muhammad Yunus, and he talked about what he called social businesses. Somebody said, why is he charging interest? He has to pay staff. Like he said, the business must survive so it can help more people. So he called it social business. This woman did something like that. Let me cut the long story short. She said that one day she invested, her son had a friend, a geologist, who had invented no particular way of prospecting for oil. And the boy told the mother, this boy is good. This, my friend, is good. What he said will work. So the woman invested money and forgot about it. And then one day she went to church and God said to her, say to the people that you will give, they wanted to raise money for a building for their children's church. Say that you will match every dollar they give with a dollar. So if you guys gather $10,000, I will put another $10,000. It comes to $20,000. She was expecting that they would gather like 5 to 10. Cut a long story short, they gathered over $100,000. $106,000 to be precise. She had 24 hours to match it because that was what she said everybody had to do. Pay up in 24 hours. So she was going to her bank to go and borrow money to pay them. She's a rich woman. She'll pay over time. Then the phone rang. They said that investment she made that time, are you getting me? They struck oil. And her share of the proceeds in the first month, is over $100,000. Now, when I read the story, I said, you see, those who don't understand, we think that cosmetic business is good. When you see this woman become very rich and is waxing greater, because listen, this is what happens to your life. You get to a point where if God is the one that blessed you, not Magomago bless, that goes down with falling stock market and drop in crude oil price, that blessing is not stable. As the economy flounders, your prosperity flounders. That's not of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? The real one of God, you will get to a point, you break into a place where men are running, you appear to be flying. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is a point will come, you will become so prosperous, you won't even know how not to be prosperous. I know what I'm saying. Very, very true. Are you getting what I'm saying? The woman, that was what happened. From that day, she began to earn over $100,000 a month in a place where she doesn't go to and she does not know what to do. Because she had labored in something else. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Because she had labored in something else. These days we look and say, home movie is paying now. People like Clarus and Gringori and all of them, the thing was not good for them that time. You know, such statements, we don't even need to make them anymore. We have gotten good understanding. If you do your life, listen, if you do anything faithfully, whether it moves or not, God will bless you from somewhere else. Are you getting my point? Teach children faithfully. God can dash you a whole multinational company and say, pocket it. And you will still go back to teaching children because that's what you love to do. There are people that God is blessing them because they are Sunday school teachers. Not only them, it's blessing their children and their descendants after them. And nobody will ever think about the fact that it's because this man was a Sunday school teacher. Are you getting my point? Christian business and the Christian life, do you understand? It's not just that you bear the name. It's the heart with which you do what you are doing. Are you getting my point? And I'm saying that this is how to serve God. All right? Allow God to transform you by the power of his word. That's number one. And number two, all right, allow the gifts that he has placed inside you to be used to bless other people and be faithful in whatever it is that you are doing. I hope you are getting my point. And listen, God's blessings abound on those that serve him. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, let me tell you the truth. I just want to say this and I close. I don't mean to talk against Christians, all right? But I need to balance their heads, all right? Sometimes we Christians, we have become very, very irresponsible. A lot of times we do things that are pure irresponsible and we think it is Christianity. And we need to balance it out so that people will know how to serve God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We ask ourselves, why come God is blessing that man and he's an unbeliever? And I'm a believer and I'm working for God and he's not blessing me. You know what God is saying? That unbeliever is serving me more than you are serving me. That unbeliever is serving me. All you do is go to church. Okay, I know you are not shy. Uh-huh. On your clinic days, you quickly run. You see how patients, so you run and said, church is about to start. I'm the head usher. And why do you do it? Because, not because you love ushering, but because you think that is what makes me happy. God said, for that reason, for every patient that stayed there that day, that cried because you ran to church, I want to bless you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, Allah, can you bless the unbeliever? God said, hey, wait, you don't understand. This unbeliever, this so-called unbeliever, is doing more for me than you. Because all you like to do is bear the name, you know, bear the name Christian. Doesn't reflect in where I placed you to turn the lives of people around. I'm sorry to say this. I have looked around and I think in churches these days, we don't preach be born again anymore. My wife and I were discussing it a few days ago. It's very common. We preach all kinds of things apart from telling people that they need, do you know what I need? That you must, marvel that not that I say unto you, that you must be born again. You need to change your works. You must bear fruit that is in keeping with repentance. My friend told me one day he was in the car, and a Christian picked up, somebody called him, and he picked up the phone to answer in his car. And they were driving, let me not give you the specific town. They were driving in Enugu. And the man said, please call me back later. Right now, I'm in Lagos. He said, Banky, this is why they say I'm wicked. He said, if I drop him on the road there, they will go and say, this pastor is very wicked. He was lying on the phone that right now I'm in Lagos. Meanwhile, the guy was right there in Enugu. This was in another part of the country. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, it is so important we understand it. There's a book, I'm going to release it, hopefully, shortly after the Grace to Prosper comes out. I'll drop that one too. It's called How to Work for God. I pray that you will read that book. Listen to these messages again, but read that book. I wrote the thing in there very clearly. It is acceptable to all of us. You've heard it of the way of, like Paul would say, of my manner of life as Pastor Banky. Wherever I am on Saturdays, I run back home to Enugu to come and teach the gospel. And everybody thinks it's a nice thing. Do you understand my point? He's a faithful man of God. He loves to teach the word of God. But what am I trying to preach? If you're a doctor, from wherever you are on certain days of your clinic, you run down and go and run that clinic. Don't say, my senior registrar will take charge, which is what we do in Nigeria. If you know how hard it is for me to miss a day of teaching here, this is when I do some things for my students, I literally do it for God, literally. That is, I say, God, it's because of you I'm doing this thing. I told them I'm going to gather money. No, really. Now, I take my... When I teach, even me too, I'm blessed too. I teach you seriously. Believe me now. That's how I take teaching my students seriously. I told you, ask my wife. That my wife knows now when I'm going in the morning. When she see me, they deck heavy in the morning. No, say, this man get lecture. Now, hits these days when they teach me lesson. You know, my class is not as air conditioned as this place is. You know what I mean? No, really. I'm going to class. What I really love to do is to dress very well. Wear my finest suit. Look very sharp. Walk into the class. Put my computer on, put the projector on, and give a well-prepared lecture. At the end, hand out my notes. Where I gist a lot in class. My students are always laughing. I tell my whole life story. I say all kinds of things. So they, and a lot of time, they enjoy my lecture. But more importantly, I say, no, I must deliver stuff for them. Why? Because it's the work of God. It is what? The work of God. Listen, let me just add this one. I have thought about dressing in this life. That's female dressing. Men don't have that problem. And I have decided that the reason why women dress anyhow is because Christians don't do the work of God in that area. Hear this. If God gives you a gift, I want you to be a leader in fashion designing. Teach women how to dress. Not like, don't wear this trouser, it's too tight. Hey, don't wear this one, it's too exposing. No, I mean, go design something. All right? Let godly women model it. And we will teach young women what to copy. They have nothing else to copy apart from those who go to deeper life. And I don't want my wife to dress like somebody who goes to deeper life. Jesus said, even if it is fasting period, anoint your face. So you are not fasting and your face is not anointed. What kind of trouble is that? Church, they know they use makeup. That's your problem. Jesus said, anoint your face. That's what they call anointing. It doesn't mean pour olive oil. In Jesus' name, this face is blessed. That's not what he meant. What he meant is that stay in front of the mirror, dress everything very nice, blink for the Lord, and then go and look very good. Listen, there's a difference between... No, listen. There's a world of difference between looking sexy and looking beautiful. There's a world of difference. You know what God said concerning Aaron? He said, you see, the cloth I have placed upon him is for beauty and for glory. That is, if Aaron goes into a Gentile nation, people will turn and say, who is that? Which God does he serve? That is his outfit. There's no other God that has ministers that's decked up like this. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the work of God. He said, God, I tap into creativity. I'm a designer of clothes. When I am through, no such will godly women dress, and so will young women copy them. You know that is a ministry. I was watching TV just now. There's one girl, I think she's dead now. So my wife said, who is he? Who was she anyway? They were showing it. I didn't really sit down for long to see it. I think they arrested somebody who they thought maybe killed. I think it's Anna Nicole. So my wife said, who was she anyway? I said, I don't know. I said, maybe she just one notorious American sexy babe. I don't know, you know. Pose nude in Playboy. Sleep one or two big men. Date one movie star. And suddenly, you are nothing. You're empty. You're a goat head, but I mean, you're famous. So my wife said, why is she looking demon-possessed? And listen, we looked. I said, this girl looks very empty. Ha! She must have borrowed breasts for that thing. Because the breasts that she put on, not be only her own. Compact. I said, my wife, come and look. And just a smile so helplessly. Someone said she was looking. There was one with the discretion. She was just looking like she was stoned. And that's what Satan does to people. She thinks she's appealing. I said, no. Yoruba man said, Christmas is sweet to look at, but nobody won't burn one as picking. We can watch you on television. That's as far as it goes. Even the men who are carrying you around, time for marriage, they go sneak, go back, go village. Say, Mama, good morning. Any village girl for this side? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What's the point I have made? That there's a ministry there. And then Nicole shouldn't teach our young people how to dress. Do you understand my point? There should be an anointed woman. Anytime she comes on stage, everybody say, I would like to be like that girl when I grow up. You understand what I'm saying? And that's a ministry also. Use your gift, whichever area. Believe me, God, he doesn't have to use money for you rapidly. God will bless you in another area. So much that you yourself will be surprised. And you will look and say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. People will say, it's overnight success. Say, no, for 20 years I've been serving the Lord faithfully. You never knew about it. This is just the day of my own breakthrough. You can't copy my activity in the last 24 hours. Not even in the last 1 year. You want to be like me? Go back for 20 years, serve the Lord and be faithful. And the Lord will also bless you too. I hope you've learned something today. I'll complete this message next time. Let us pray.